says that from here we derive Mikanish Masif Michol HaKodesh, that you have to begin Yom Kippur Mibi Od Yom. And then the Gemara goes on to say that not only you have to begin Yom Kippur Mibi Od Yom Lagabi Tainis, you have to begin Yom Kippur Mibi Od Yom Lagabi Melocha, and that this din carries over to Shabbos and to Yom Tif. This is the source of the entire principle of Tosefes Kedusha. So the Rambam, when he quotes the din of Tosefes Yom Kippurim, quotes it in a very, very limited fashion. He only quotes in Yom Kippur. He never quotes it Legabi Shabbos and Yom Tov. And even Legabi Yom Kippur, he only quotes it Legabi Ina. He doesn't quote Legabi Malacha. So this led many Mefarshim to explain that the Rambam somehow felt that we don't pass him like this whole Sugi Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes. Why not? Why shouldn't we pass on this Gemara? So those were with us last year. I think we may have touched on this a little bit last year, that there's a long, long Bir HaGrah, that where the Gemara explains that the Rambam understood that there's a fundamental machlokes taking place between the Tanoim about is there really such a mitzvah Tosefes or not? What led the Rambam to believe this machlokes? Because there's a Mishnah in Masechah Shabbos in the end of the first parak that says that according to the opinion of Beis Shammai, you're not allowed to start melacha on Friday afternoon, that the melacha is going to continue into Shabbos. Let's say if I want to set up a trap on Friday, that the trapping will occur on Shabbos, going to be Shabbos, that's in the Siddur Aisa. And Basil said, L'hoyu Dvamil. Basil said, no such thing. You can do whatever you want. You can set up anything on Friday afternoon, even though your kelim are going to do melacha. Bishama held Shvisa's kelim as deraisa, the same as Shvisa's behem as deraisa, Shvisa's kelim as deraisa. And Beis Hillel said, we never heard of such a thing. There's no such thing called Shvisa's kelim. So in the description of Beis Hillel's view that there's no such thing as Shvisa's kelim, so Beis Hillel used a very poetic phrase. Beis Hillel say, Beis Hillel matirin im hashemesh. That's the Lashon HaMishnah. Beis Hillel permit you to do whatever you want as long as im hashemesh. What does im hashemesh mean? You look up in the sky and you see the sun's still there. So as long as you see the sun, you can do whatever you want. So Bishamai says already 10 o'clock in the morning on Friday, you can't set up traps because they're going to trap at the Shabbos. And basically, you look at the sky, if the sun's there, everything's good to go. That Lashon of Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel Matirin HaShemesh, reminds me of, I was once in Rosh HaNikra, and it was right before Shkia, and a whole bunch of people that had not yet davened Mincha. So a whole machlokes broke out. It's exactly what time Shkia is in Rosh HaNikra. So some guys, Hakkad Bnei Brak, was this time Shlom? Where's this mamre? Anyone been in Rosh HaNikra? It's the most beautiful sunset you ever see. You stand over the water and you watch the sunset. And they were pilpling what time Shkia is. Because we're so far removed from thinking that Shkia has anything with the sun. We think Shkia is a time on an app on our phone. And that Shkia corresponds to the sun. So you just look outside. So that's what Beis Hillel said. Beis Hillel didn't have no, there was no Halachas Neiros alerts on their phone. And there were no emails. And there was no announcements on on 1010 Winds that Jewish girls light candles and such and such. They looked outside and they saw that when the sun's big, it's still Dumalacha Beis Hillel. So there was a big question in that Mishnah. What do you mean, Beis Hillel Matir Shemesh? What happened to Tosefes? Isn't there a mitzvah Tosefes Shabbos? How could Beis Hillel give such a big cool and such a leniency and say, as long as you see the sun, do whatever you want? What do you mean? Don't you have to makabel Shabbos early? Isn't there a mitzvah deraisa of betish lechodesh? Doesn't the Gemara quote a brayse in Hashanah Daf Tes that says there's a mitzvah of betish lechodesh tish b'tishabatchem? So Ella, what are you going to tell me that the mitzvah Tosefes is after the sun sets? That's ridiculous. How could the mitzvah of the Sabbath be after the sun sets? After the sun sets, they already suffered Yom Sof Laila. If you would do Malach then, there's a suffering of Yechav Skila. You'd have to be in Hashem Tali. It's a suffering derais l'chumra. So obviously, the mitzvah of the Sabbath must be preceding sunset, before Shkia. So how do we understand the Mishnah? How could we still say with a straight face, in the Silma Fiyin and Mashemesh, are you talking? If there's really truly a mitzvah of the Sabbath, and Tosefes must precede Shkia, so then Beis Hillel are misleading us by saying Beis Hillel Matirin Hashemesh. So the Vilna Gaon says that it must be that the Mishnah Masechet Shabbos must deny the mitzvah Tosefes. That the Mishnah and Shabbos is not Meshubah to the Brayse in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes. That the Mishnah and Shabbos must hold that the mitzvah of Tosefes must only apply to Yom Kippur, and it's not extended to Shabbos and Yontif, and it doesn't even apply to Malacha, because the Pasuk only says, v'inisem estav shaseichem etish l'chodesh be'erev. So the mitzvah of Tosefes is a unique din, dafka limited to Inoy of Erev Yom Kippur. There's nothing at all to do with Malacha and Erev Yom Kippur, zicha nothing to do with Shabbos and Yontif. It's not to do with anything, it's a din prati, like Abbe Inoy on Erev Yom Kippur. So the Gra claims that the Rambam saw in that Mishnah, in the first break of Shabbos, that Lashon of Beis Hillel, Machlekes HaTanoim, and if you have a choice between passing like a Stam Mishnah in Shabbos, or a Brais that tucked away in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes, obviously you're going to opt for the Lachos Stam Mishnah, but you're going to follow the Lachos Stam Mishnah. Therefore, in one fell swoop, the entire institution of Tosefes falls by the wayside. There is no such thing as Tosefes Shabbos. What does everybody else do with this? Most of the Rishonim did quote this idea of the Sefer Shabbos. How do you explain that? So the Ramban in Sefer Teres HaAdam explains that the answer to this riddle, how can you have Tosefes if the Mishnah says that you're allowed to do Malacha Kol Zman, that the sun is still around? So the Ramban says the answer to this riddle is that Tosefes begins after the sun sets. How can that be? After the sun sets, it's already Safek Laila. So says the Ramban, no, it's not. You have a misunderstanding of when Safek Laila kicks in. You think when the sun disappears beneath the horizon, that's the halachic shkia that kicks in ben hashmashos. Lo hayud v'miyodim, says the Ramban. He quotes the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, the famous word, the shtei shkia sein. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it doesn't mean the sun sets, comes back up, and goes down again. That's how shtei shkia means. Shtei shkia means, Rabbeinu Tam, the famous line, he says there are two shkias. What that means is that there's astronomical sunset, when the sun dips beneath the horizon, but we colloquially today call shkia. Rabbeinu Tam says that's, for all practical purposes, almost meaningless in halacha. It's very nagelamaisif, because kachim, the very, very quirk areas of halacha, but not really. And the Rabbeinu Tam's opinion is that after the sun astronomically sets, it's still called Yom Goma, L'chol Dini HaTorah. And Shkia Shnia is when all the rays of the sun are no longer visible. That's much, much later. That could be almost an hour later, maybe more than an hour later. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, that's the halachic Shkia, and that's when Menash Mashush begins to kick in. So the Ramban says, now, according to Rabbeinu Tam, everything fits beautifully. So the din is that Beisil Matir Meshemesh. Kozman, you can see the sun, you can do whatever you want. Because you're not even mechuyev into Sefer Shabbos. The Sefer Shabbos doesn't even start yet. Kozman, you can see the sun. Once the sun goes down, I didn't say you're not allowed to do malach at that point, then you have to begin to cheshbon out the Sefer Shabbos. The Ramban writes, there's no mitzvah to make an hour of the Sefer Shabbos. You want to make a half hour, make 20 minutes, 5 minutes, 2 minutes, I don't know, some kind of a shia, whatever it is. Ratza osa kula, ratza osa mitzasa. But Kozman, that the sun hasn't set, so then there's nothing to talk about. There is no, there's no Tosefes Shabbos, so therefore we still said Matir Meshemesh. So according to the Ramban and Rabbeinu Tam, you can have a kick in either. You can have an institution of Tosefes Shabbos, and also have that Lashon HaMishnah to be intact. The only thing is, that only makes sense if you accept Rabbeinu Tam's version of Zman HaYom. If you accept other Rishonim's version of Zman HaYom, that there are no Shtei Shkias, Shkia of Chazal, that begins Ben HaShemashos, at that point, starts when the sun dips astronomically beneath the horizon. So at that point, it would be absurd to speak about the Sefer Shabbos. So if you deny Rabbeinu Tam, then you have to fall back on the Shittas of Rambam. So that's a long, long, long Be'agra, a whole page long Be'agra in Hilchos Shabbos, where he explains this whole Shittas. That Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramban had one very, very different understanding of Zman HaYom, and they held it as a Shkia Shnia, and therefore the Sefer Shabbos makes sense within that window of Shkia Rishon and Shkia Shnia. According to the Rambam, who denies Shkia Shnia, who holds everything is Shkia Rishona, by definition, because of the Lashon HaMishnah and Shabbos, the Rambam had to deny the entire principle of Tosefes Shabbos.
So the Gra didn't hold up Tosefes
Shabbos? Right, the Gra says, right, the Gra held this not Tosefes Shabbos, right. Except right, there's only Tosefes on Yom Kippur, that's all.
For
Enid, only got to be Enid, right.
How does Rabbeinu Tam define the second Shkia? Is that astronomical, or is it just nothing?
The Rabbeinu Tam, basing on the numbers of the Gemara, says that it's 3.25 mil after the first Shkia. So how long a mil is another story, and what exactly it corresponds to is also not clear, but 3.25 mil. So if you plug in almost arbitrary numbers, it comes out to 58.5 minutes after Shkia. That's where the magic number 72 minutes comes from. Because then Ben Hashmashos kicks in, and then 3/4 mil later it's over 72 minutes. That's where that number comes from again, even though it may not correspond to anything. Is there a way to have a middle ground? Just because one follows the Rambam and the Gra in terms of the basic understanding of Zman HaYom, that we accept there's only one Shkia, and at that point it's Ben HaShemashos, are we Meshubah to the Gra's conclusion? Are we Meshubah to the Rambam's conclusion that there's no such thing as Tosefes Shabbos? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that, not necessarily. The Mishnah Berurah says you could walk a tightrope and subscribe to the Rambam and the Gra's basic theory about Zman HaYom, that there's only one Shkia. And once the sun sets astronomically, so there's already it's ready history. There's no Tosefes at that point. And still subscribe to Tosefes. Well, how do you do that? So says the Mishnah Berurah, you have to stick Tosefes before Shkia. But the Mishnah says, Im HaShemesh. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Im HaShemesh. Doesn't mean literally Im HaShemesh. Im HaShemesh means, Adad, when you see the sun, Ramesh B'chol Tokfo, Vyolav Kitzes HaShemesh B'chol, when you see the sun really, really up there, then you can still do whatever you want. When the sun is about to set, so then you ready, you have to stop doing Malacha out to Tosefes. So the Lashon of the Mishnah is a little more poetic rather than literal. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. So according to that, you can accept the Gra and the Rambam Zman HaYom and still buy into the midst of Tosefes. So when all the dust settles, there seem to be three very, very different opinions, three different approaches to how Tosefes plays out on a regular Shabbos. According to the Gra, for the most part, at least in the Torah for sure, doesn't exist. according to the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rabban, it exists mid-deraisa, and it starts in effect around Shki Rishon Atam, give or take. And according to Mishnah Berurah's reformulated version of the Sefes, it could be, he claims, is perhaps Shita Sagonim, so maybe there is Tosefes mid-deraisa. We do accept the Gemara Shana Daptas, and that Tosefes deraisa must be before Shkia. So this Chaps a big nafkamina for us on every Shabbos of the year, because we generally don't follow Rabbeinu Tam. Even those who follow Rabbeinu Tam l'chumrah, who keep long, long Shabbos, they're probably not really following the authentic Rabbeinu Tam. And even those who are following very, very long Shabbos, following Rabbeinu Tam, they only follow the chumrah, they don't follow the kula. Nobody today that I know of does melacha after Shkia. Nobody should be doing melacha after Shkia. In Europe, there were communities that did melacha after Shkia. There were in some of the Hungarian communities, the Chassidish communities, so they passed in like Rabbeinu Tam, bein l'kula, bein l'chumrah. So not only did they daven mincha after Shkia, they did melacha after Shkia also. They mamash followed the view of Rabbeinu Tam. So again, I can't vouch for all the communities in Williamsburg and Bar Park and in Monroe these days. But for the most part, in our communities, for sure, nobody would ever dream of doing malachi after Shkia. And we don't follow, nobody would follow Rabbeinu Tam b'zman hazeh, l'kula, maybe l'chumra, but nobody would follow it l'kula. There is a, I don't know whether it's a legend or something, I don't know whether it actually happened, but the way the legend goes is that there was some kind of an agreement made between Rabbi Kotler and the Satmar Rebbe back in the 1940s, that something along the lines of the following, that Satmar Rebbe said he would stop his chassidim from doing malachi after Shkia. If Rav Aaron said that he would make all the yeshiva bacharim keep Rabbeinu Tam's man at the end of 72 minutes. So we ended up with the chumras of both. Again, I don't know whether there's any truth to that legend, but that's the lamais, that's the, almost kind of happened in certain communities. Fine. Get back to the story. So we who don't really follow Rabbeinu Tam, the Mikra, then we follow the Gra in terms of Zman Hayom. So do we deny the existence of the Tosefos? If we follow straight Gra, the answer is yes, the Stach not Tosefos, but for sure not. And if you follow the Mishnah Berurah, reformulated those sefers, then there would be two sefers. So this chaps an afkamina for us on every Friday night, because as a further machlek is in the Pesukim, what does the sefers mean? Does the sefers mean that you just have to refrain from halacha, or does the sefers mean you have to do something formal in a positive sense? You have to mamash be makabel Shabbos, maybe bepeh, maybe machshava. You have to do some kind of a kabbalah to Shabbos before this man. So there are those who are makbid that before Shkia on every Friday, they make a formal Kabbalah Shabbos. It means they make a statement, Dini Mechum Zohar, Mekabel upon myself Shabbos early. If you daven in a community that recites Biz Moshiach before Shkia, then that would be sufficient. Let's say if you daven in the summertime, you make early Shabbos, that would be sufficient. The problem is in our communities, so we don't get anywhere near Biz Moshiach before Shkia. Halavai, they finish davening Mincha before Shkia. So in our communities, they're not getting Biz Moshiach for 20 minutes. If you daven in Kalbach, it's a half hour. If you daven in Suriyamir, who knows when it could be. So yeah, it could be Tuesday. So those who want to fulfill the Sefer Shabbos on a regular Friday afternoon will, and they want to assume that the Sefer Shabbos doesn't just mean not doing malacha, they will make a formal declaration that they're makabel Shabbos. So some of that practice, as soon as they finish davening mincha, on sometimes you can't even wait for chazos hashatz, it'll be too late. What I usually do in my shul is, as soon as I finish in my silent Shemon Esrei, so the first thing I do is I have makabel Shabbos. So I say right then and there, in makabel kedusha Shabbos, and shorin makabel Shabbos, and you yaitu the mitzvah l'chol hadeus. According to the Gra, it would be unnecessary to do that. According to the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ravina, you got plenty of time to do that. But according to the reformulated Mishnah Berurah version, combined with the idea of doing it derech piv, derech a formal deeper of Kabbalah, so that would be necessary. So some posts could be mapped in
it. Would that cause a problem for if you see Kabbalah before Mincha?
Yeah, then you can't have Mincha anymore.
So Mincha's there, so shots.
No. So they don't wait for me chazos shatz anyway in my shul. So I'm missing three quarters of chazos shatz anyway. So by the time I
if we get full chazos shatz,
I mean, if you want those who are machped and the rovs. So the question: what's more important? The Mishnah Berurah claims the Shabbat deraisa of Kabbalah Shabbos maybe al yom derech dibur, the chashash mitzvah deraisa, or the rovs diuk in the Rambam that there's a tefillah satzibur. You tell me which you think is.
Yeah, but nobody ever said the Mishnah Berurah is.
Nobody ever said it. Mishnah Berurah claims that everybody held that way. He says anybody. Mishnah Berurah claims that the Shulchan Aruch quotes Yesh Omrim that the Tosefes Shabbos Deraisa. So the Mishnah Berurah says basically is saying it's hard to believe that there is a Stam Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that speaks about the Tosefes Shabbos Deraisa. The Gra was the first one who discovered this idea that maybe it's a Machlokes HaTanoim. Before that, everybody thought we pass like that Gemara. Now, it had already been known for hundreds of years that there was Machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and other Rishonim how to calculate Zman Hayom. So nobody ever connected the dots like the Gra to say that, well, if you hold our Shita Zman Hayom, then that Bryce is trumped by the Mishnah Shabbos. So the Mishnah Berurah is saying that conventional wisdom was always right in the middle. Means he's claiming Stimus Arishonim, that nobody else highlighted the fact that Braisa Shalik Aloha, they are probably that phantom sheep that the Mishnah Berurah just in a sense discovered or created, depending what you think the Pshat of the Mishnah Berurah is.
If you're davening Shemoneh Esrei, you have like a longer Shemoneh Esrei, and at Mincha time, and it goes into Shkia, like should you try to like hurry up before Shkia?
Try davening, try to daven quickly. Yeah.
You try not to be chazan.
Yeah, try to be chazan. I used to always be nervous when I was the years in Avelis, they catch my father, so I used to like to daven for the Yomid. So sometimes I would try to daven Mincha early, and if I wasn't there for daven Mincha early, so then when I would daven Mincha for Yomid, so I would always make sure we start on time. Usually we always come Mincha 15 minutes before Shkia. Half the time we don't start till 10 minutes before Shkia because I'm late, even though I live upstairs. I'm the latest one to come down, usually because 25 people are stuck on the road somewhere on Friday afternoon and they need some guidance as to what to do to get those last minutes. The last thing I do before I go down to Mincha is turn off my phone. So I was keep my phone on mamash till the bitter end, because those are the most important shadows that come in 2 minutes before Shkia, 2 minutes before Shkia, 2 minutes before Lech Benching. People are stuck somewhere on the road. So I always end up, it's not a good excuse, but I always end up being 2-3 minutes late for Mincha. So half the time it's because of that. Half the time it's because I'm late, but half the time it's for legitimate reasons. But I tell everybody it's because of some crazy shadow, even half the time it's not true. Okay, that was off the record. No one's typing any of this. No, I don't really say that. Okay, getting back to the story. So this is all talk about a regular Friday afternoon. What about Yom Kippur? So Yom Kippur, now the stakes are much higher. Not just because we want to be from an Yom Kippur, but because even the Rambam concedes that the mitzvah of Tosefes, at least vis-a-vis Inui. Now, again, it could be that the mitzvah of Tosefes never ever required to make a formal Kabbalah. That's also a big question, but I'll let Sada, that's true. That you need a formal Kabbalah for Tosefes. And the Rambam Shita, even the Rambam concedes somebody. Everyone agrees that's the Sefer somewhere. That's the Xerxes Kosovo Batish Lachash Barab. So at least for Yom Kippur, at least for Enoch, it exists. So if you hold that you need a formal Kabbalah, so then that would be necessary. Then you would have to be Makabal Yom Kippur B'dibor before Shkia. You don't want to rely on Rabbi Tam and the Ramban to do it later. You want to do it before. So when do you do it before? What is the official formal Kabbalah? So the answer is the formal Kabbalah must be some kind of a statement, Harein Makabel, Kedushas Yom Kippur, or something. So that's where you find the Tefillah Zakah. So those who say the long Tefillah Zakah before Kol Nidrei, so tucked away in that Tefillah Zakah is the Kabbalah Sayom. You got to get to the end of it because it's to the end of the Tefillah Zakah. So you got to make sure you get to that before Shkia. But usually you do because Kol Nidrei is called before Shkia anyway, as we spoke about last week or 2 weeks ago. So if you say Tefillah Zakah Bismano, so then you're good to go. So then you fulfill the mitzvah of the Sefes, even according to the Rambam, that the Sefes may be Eld Yom. So now we finish this, not finish, but we finish the part that we want to talk about in terms of Yom Kippur. Let's move on to Yom Kippur proper. So Yom Kippur itself, of course, we know that there are two fundamentally assumed derais in Yom Kippur, Cholodayas, that's obviously the Malacha, and the Dinim of Inu. Malacha is not that much to say, because whatever we say in Shabbos and Yom Kippur, in Vein Shabbos and Kippur, it's pretty much all the same, with the one exception that one's Chayim Mises Beis and one's Chayim Kares, but maybe enough for Kineva Sayerek, maybe, but maybe that's another sugi, not really too relevant for us. So if you don't understand what I meant, so don't worry about it. So the what? Okay, it means that Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos that you can do certain hachanas late in the afternoon on Yom Kippur. You can chop up some of the vegetables, you can remove some of the leaves or something. Some things that are not really assumed that rice anyway, you're allowed to do those kinds of things. Things that we would normally not permit on a regular Shabbos. So Chazal permitted them on Yom Kippur, called Kineva Sayerek. So the Gemara says that you're only allowed to do those things late in the afternoon on Yom Kippur. So the Rishonim write that Bezman HaZeh, we don't rely on that kula, we don't do those things anyway, because people start to do them in the morning, and the Gemara says, no, I do it in the morning. So since people were careless about this, so then the Rishonim said, stop doing it. So we're not even sure what Kineva Sayerek was in the first place, but whatever it was, we don't do it. So Lamai said, we don't do it. Why were they matir Kineva Sayerek? Just for mentioning it. So the Gemara says, Mishum Iner Nefesh. Shemag was Nefesh. So what does that mean? So the simple pshat in the Gemara is, and Rashi says, is that we want people to be able to eat as soon as Yom Kippur is over. People are pushing hungry. The guy's been fasting 25 hours. He's going to be starved. So if his wife's going to start cutting up the vegetables at 8 o'clock at night, the salad's not going to be ready until 10 o'clock at night. So it's going to be another 2 hours of being hungry. So when the guy's eating salad. So therefore, in order to have a little rachmanis on Klal Yisrael, so Chazal said certain things that maybe would be Yisroim D'Rabbanan, maybe would be Yisrachon, certain things that under normal Shabbos we wouldn't permit. But in Yom Kippur, we permit those things. I think there's a further shadow. What about Yom Kippur Shabbos? Again, it's not so relevant for us. We never permit Kineva Sayerek anyway. But in the days of the Gemara, the Gemara's also give about that. Fine. So the simple reason the Gemara is that Mishum Inoy Nefesh, we want to be able to alleviate people's Inoy, therefore we permitted Kiyosiyari. So the Balamor quotes another Pshat in the Gemara, a radically different Pshat. Balamor says that the Inoy Nefesh doesn't mean we want to save people from having Tzaras after Yom Kippur. For Kippur, we want to enhance the Inoy on Yom Kippur. We want to make people more miserable on Yom Kippur. If a guy is miserable, but he's not thinking about food, he's hungry, not thinking about food, okay. But if you put him into the kitchen and tell him to start chopping up the vegetables, lots and he's salivating, he's starving, and now we're letting him prepare the food. Oh yeah, he's going to be even more miserable. That's a good thing. Why is that a good thing? That's a very, very hard idea to understand in Machshava. I said, on Yom Kippur, we assume that we don't want people to be miserable. We just want people to be v'inisa. We don't want people to be eating on Yom Kippur. There's no mitzvah that turns to make yourself miserable on Yom Kippur. You have to dafka, go to a place where the food really smells good, and you got to go on Yom Kippur, go find a guy who's not cooking bas b'chol, should be a shalabim. Then they go find a good geshmak, smelling b'sayin nevela, and sit there all day Yom Kippur, during the break. Sit for an hour during the break instead of going to sleep. Sit there and be nenef and being miserable, and making yourself more and more b'inoy. I've never heard of such a thing. So Balmor says, that's why Chazal wanted you to do kinivus in the eric. They wanted you dafka to be a more inoy. Very, very difficult. Again, the Rishonim say it, but the Pashas at the bottom is like Rashi, that the Inyan Nefesh is to make life easier on people, not life harder on people. But anyway, that's the Malacha, so we finished Malacha. Back to Inui of not eating. So the din is obviously one is not permitted to eat on Yom Kippur, is not permitted to drink on Yom Kippur, and there are three parts of the Sisser. There's the mitzvah zaseh of inis mesnaf shesechem. Then there's the lav of kichla nefesh shelos u'nev. The Gemara says that the lashon lav, and then the pasuk says yechayv karis. So there is a famous Gemara in the end of the Masech, the beginning of the 8th Berakh of Yuma, where the Gemara differentiates between the shear vis-a-vis the Issachares and the shear vis-a-vis the Isurim of just eating. And that's the famous sugya about Chatzi Shear HaSemen HaTayrus. And Mechlex with Yechem Ishlokish. So Ishlokish says that the shear that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Yom Kippur, the shear of Kesevas Agasa, the shear of the size of a fat date, the shear is not a Kezayis, because the Torah doesn't say Achila, the Torah says Inui. So therefore, the shear expresses that idea of building of a Menias at Inui. So the shear is Nemer to Moshe Rabbeinu is a shear of Kesevas Agasa. So Ishlokish says that shear was given Bein Le'inyan the Einish of Kares, Bein Le'inyan the Isser. And the love of their eyes, so there's nothing wrong with having a little bite. You can take a little bite to eat on Yom Kippur in the morning, and then wait a little bit, and then 20 minutes later, have a little bit more. So an hour later, you can have a little more. You can eat a little bit, Minat Torah, you'll add a little bit here and there on Yom Kippur, because the Torah says V'nisem, and the Shia of V'nisem is Kesev Sagas. And less than that, it's only Chatzi Shir, and Rish Lachish holds Chatzi Shir is Mutar Minat Torah. It's also Midrabanan, but it's Mutar Minat Torah. And Rabbi Yechanan disagrees, and of course, we follow Rabbi Yechanan, and this one, like most other places, we follow Rabbi Yechanan. That no, the Chatzi Shir is in fact Aser Minat Torah. So once you say the Chatzi Shir is Aser Minat Torah, but there's no Kares, does it really make much of a difference for us? At the end of the day, you're not going to do it anyway. So my Nafkamina, who cares whether it's a Shir Sholem, a Chatzi Shir, a Nafkamina for bringing a Korban Chattas, Nafkamina for Malkas, is any of this relevant for us? So it does play a role in terms of a Chos Chayla. There's a general understanding of the Sugya of Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos and other areas of Halacha. And even though Pikuach Nefesh is permissible, we try to minimize the Issa when at all possible. So here, the Shulchan Aruch quotes, let's say you have a Chayla in Yom Kippur, it's a Chayla Shiyesh Per Sakana. And the doctors, if the doctors say he's got to eat a full meal and don't play any games, he may die. If he doesn't eat a full meal, so then there's nothing to discuss. He eats a full meal. But whatever the doctors say, he's not going to die. He'll be okay. Just give him a pachas b'gashir. He needs a little bit of water to drink. He needs a little cracker to eat. He needs a little bit of nutrition, a little something, a little hydration, but he doesn't need such a tremendous amount. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, so then we should try to give him less than the shear. Because why should we give him more than the shear? Giving him more than the shear is much more serious, sir. That's the carries with the donation of carries. Giving him less than the shear is an issa deraisa. So we're not going to give it to him unless he's chalashir shpitzagon. A lot of people have a very, very big misunderstanding of Yom Kippur. A lot of people think that if you're eating less than the shear, you don't have to be so sick anyway. No, not at all. That you have to be a chalashir shpitzagon. Because we pass like Rabbi Yechon Chatzis Shas in the Torah, so we would never permit an Issa Derais for anything short of Pikuach Nefesh. So the whole sugya of permitting even a drop, even a tipa, a mashu of water on Yom Kippur, is only b'mocha b'chashash Pikuach Nefesh. The only thing is that once we have a situation of Pikuach Nefesh, we're going to try, if it's medically feasible, if it's medically wise, then we'll try to minimize the Issa by eating less than the Shia. So well, for Mitzvah, next year we'll try to figure out what the parameters of that statement are, and then to formulate what exactly is the shiur, what are the words being, how much is the shiur, eating, drinking, how does it all play out, lemaisa. These are 99% of the time, these are the shiurs that Rabbanim get on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur itself, you're not going to get any Kedivah Seyarek shiurs, but these shiurs you will get. So you have to know what the answer to these questions is about how to feed Cholim properly on Yom Kippur. Next week, so we'll try to work a little on that. Okay? And then we'll probably get close enough to be within Shloshim Yom Chanukah to be able to make believe that we're going to do Chanukah. So I think probably it makes sense. Are we supposed to do Chanukah this year? Is it on the syllabus? Right? It's on the syllabus this year. So it probably makes sense. We'll do a little bit more Yom Kippur next week, and then maybe it makes sense to move into Chanukah, and then eventually to come back to Sukkot and Lulav in the middle of the winter when it's not relevant anyway. So it's a Shana Mubaras this year, so we need extra time anyway to stall. So then eventually, by the time Purim rolls around, we'll get back into Purim. And that's just a theoretical plan. I don't know if anything's going to correspond to that or not. Okay.
When should we go for Chanukah? Do you know?
The 25th day of Cheshvan.
No, I'm saying, okay.
No, but what's today? What's today's day? Okay, so in a week and a half or so, we'll figure it out. Okay. In general, we'll probably try to keep the share in the slot, the quarter set. I think, in general, that works better for most guys.
Yeah.
Okay, so just today I have to run, but we'll try to keep that slot in general. But does that change?
The other one, yeah.
The other slot? Yeah, we'll try to keep the other slot. I'm going to try if I can keep the other slot, but we'll play for you. We'll have this as a backup sometimes.
Okay,
good.
Do we know when Sunday's work on again?
Well, that?
Do we know
when Sunday's work on again?
Like, from how long?
When is it relevant?
When
is it
relevant?
I'm pretty sure you meant, like, I don't know. I don't know.
He meant when is it